can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nor tribulation or distress, nor persecution or the sword. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ the Lord. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Can now condemn us? Christ is by our side. Who can charge us guilty? God has justified. God did not spare his only son, but Jesus rose up from the grave. To those he came to save. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, Jesus our Lord, in Jesus our Lord.
The hedge declare the glory of God, the rocks cry out his praise, the stars keep on their course by his decree.
But yet he's chosen to engrave upon the hearts of those he saved the image of his blessed Son for all the world to see. He's working in me both the willing and the doing his pleasure with power that hasn't any boundary, because his word is sure, I am secure in claiming this great treasure, the life of his Son in me. With fear and trembling joy I view the workings of my God in using me to make his glories known. He'll never leave his work undone. He will perform what he's begun. 'Tis mine to claim the promises and run the race he's shown. He's working in me both the willing and the doing of his pleasure with power that hasn't any boundary, because his word sure, I am secure in claiming this great treasure, the life of his Son in me. The life of his Son in me.
Amen. Wonderful song. And that is what we desire, is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to be lived through us and to be seen in us. Let's take the word of God tonight. We'll go to Psalm chapter number 95. Psalm chapter 95. I wanted to take today and deal with just preparation for this coming year. This morning, as I talked about how that our hearts of worship before the Lord to be this morning, as I talked about that time to know the Lord and spending in His Word. And I pray that each and every one of us daily will be in God's Word. It'll make the greatest difference. Tonight I want to come to Psalm chapter 95. It's a beautiful psalm. It's really a psalm of worship. And I want to preach on this subject tonight. I invite you to worship. The truth of the matter is, we will not accomplish much for the Lord unless we are worshiping Him. Kind of reminds me of the pilot who came over the loudspeaker to announce from the cockpit. He said, "Folks, we are lost, but we are making good time," you know? Well, I think sometimes we're that way in our Christian lives. We are not on the right path, but we're making good time. We're moving along on the wrong path. And for the child of God, if they are not worshiping the Lord, then they're on the wrong path. In fact, someone once said, "How frightful a thing it is for the Christian when his sense of wonder departs, when he gets used to the divine, when he loses his solemn fear in the presence of the High and Holy One. When, to put it bluntly, he gets a little bored with God and heavenly things." It's a scary thing to come to church and to lose the awe of listening to the Word of God. It's a scary thing to lose the awe of being in the presence of a holy God. I want you to know tonight that if you're a child of God, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit forever. And the Spirit of God within us seeks to worship the Lord Jesus and to exalt Christ. We must understand that the Spirit of God within us, that Holy Spirit, wants to worship the Lord. In fact, God the Spirit is seeking to adore and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please know, there is a great difference of worship in soul and worship in spirit. The Bible commands us that we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, truth is communicated with words, and I believe is speaking directly of the Word of God. But what about spirit? You know that God made us spirit, soul, and body. Now, when we think about our body, we understand that's our physical body. In our body, we have five senses. In our soul, we have emotion, intellect, and will. But in our spirit, that is where God dwells. Now, please understand something. It is possible for you and I to get emotionally worked up in our souls, but not really worship God. It's possible to have some kind of the tremendous high or adrenaline rush in church or whatever it may be, but we are really not worshiping God. We must understand that we worship God in our spirit, in truth. Truth is the Word of God. As we are communicated God's Word, we are to worship the Lord. Psalm chapter 95, and let's read this entire psalm together, and let's see what the Lord has for us here this evening. The Bible says in Psalm 95, verse number 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Chapter 95 of Psalms is a beautiful psalm about worshiping the Lord. I wonder this year, will you worship the Lord? You say, well, Pastor, I came to church here to worship the Lord. Well, that's wonderful. You can worship the Lord in church. But folks, we are to worship the Lord daily. We are to live in a spirit of worship to God. I invite you to worship this year, 2021. We must worship the Lord. Now, worship simply means worth or worthyship. The ideal is we worship that which is worthy. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Only the Lord is worthy of our worship. And by the way, what a person worships is a good indication of what is really valuable to him. By the way, we all worship something, every single one of us. But I pray that we are worshiping God. We are giving Him the honor and the glory that is due unto Him. And by the way, just like this morning, we can never really worship the Lord outside of the Word of God, because the Word of God shows us who the Lord is. And as we see the Lord in the pages of Scripture, we give Him glory. Back in Psalm 95, the Bible says in verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Tonight, I invite you to worship. Number one, as we see about this psalm, this invitation to worship, we must see, number one, as we worship, number one, we come with singing. Now, you may not have the greatest voice of all, and maybe you're asked not to join the choir. It could be that. But the Bible here is not technically speaking of just singing with our voice, with our lips, although that is a part of it. But the singing here is the ideal of giving God praise. So we come with singing. Look back in verse number 1. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The ideal here, when the psalmist said, let us sing unto the Lord. Do you know that all of us sing? You say, Pastor, I just don't sing. I'm not speaking about your melody, but all of us sing. All of us talk about maybe people, or we talk about teams, or we talk about things and we give them honor. The ideal of singing unto the Lord is that we love Him. We adore Him. We admire Him. We reverence Him. We express our worship of our God. We come before His presence with singing. Let us. In fact, the Bible says, oh, come, let us. There is a unity there. Do you want to know the unity of you and your wife, men, or you and your husband, ladies? I'll tell you, it begins with worship. Do you know that everything in our Christian life really begins with our worship of God? 2021 is not about just, okay, I'm going to do this, and I've got my resolutions. I've got all of these different things. I've seen recently a sign. It was on a Dairy Queen sign that says, breaking New Year's resolutions for years, you know. And I think that's pretty typical, right? Dairy Queen can break those New Year's resolutions. But folks, it's not the New Year's resolutions. It's not, I'm going to do better this year. It begins with our worship of God, our worship of Him. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. It goes on to say, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I want to ask you a question. Do you make a joyful noise about God? Do you talk about Him? Do you admire the Lord? Do you express your worship to others of who the Lord is and what He has done in your life? Or do we ever talk about the Lord? The psalmist is saying, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us praise Him. Let us talk about His worthiness. He goes on and talks about the rock of our salvation. Folks, God is our abiding, immutable, that means He changes not, and mighty rock. In Him we find safety, we find deliverance, we find that He doesn't change. Boy, isn't that good to know that in our changing society, God changes not. In a changing world, He is steadfast and sure. He's the rock of our salvation. Folks, God made us to worship Him. A.W. Tozer said this, God made us to worship Him, and when we're not worshiping, we're stars without light. We're sun without heat. We're clouds without water. And we are birds without song. I believe that's true of us. A.W. Tozer also said, without worship, we go about miserable. Have you ever met Christians that are miserable? Well, I believe it is due to the fact that they are not worshiping God. We are made to worship. In fact, we are saved to worship God. And folks, all that Christ has done for us in the past and all that He is doing now leads us to this one end, that is our worship of the Lord. We come before His presence with singing. We talk about Him. We praise Him. I believe that we should worship the Lord privately in our time alone with God. I believe we should worship the Lord publicly as we come to the house of the Lord and we sing together. But you know something, it's possible to sing a hymn without really worshiping the Lord. Because if He is not great in our hearts, really we are not worshiping God. What do you think about the Lord? It goes back to this morning's message. May God help us that we are worshiping the Lord. I believe the thing that is missing most among God's people is the worship of God. The greatest need we face today is to see God for who He really is and to worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, folks, you will never know really who the Lord is if you are not in His precious Word. Let's take our Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter number 6, if you would, please. And I want to say tonight that I want to be among those who worship God. Isaiah chapter number 6, and you're there in Psalms, so just turn to the right, if you would, please. And let's look at what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 6. By the way, when God wrought the plan of salvation, He intended to make worshipers out of rebels. We all have a rebel heart. And the truth is, the very thing we want to worship is ourselves. In fact, the Bible says in the last days that men will be lovers of their own selves. But we must worship God, giving Him the praise, but in many ways that we understand who He is. We see Him for how holy and wonderful and good and wise and majestic that our God really is. We come before His presence with singing. James Packer said this. He said, "To worship God is to recognize His worth or worthiness, to look Godward and to acknowledge in all appropriate ways the value of what we see." The Bible calls this activity glorifying God or giving glory to God and views it as the ultimate end and from one point of view, the whole duty of man. It is to bring Him honor and glory. We come with singing, but secondly, we come with thanksgiving. Now you're there in Isaiah chapter number 6, and I don't believe that we could talk about worship without speaking about Isaiah chapter 6. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, I want you to know that here, Uzziah, the great king, has died. He was a man of God. He was a man who honored the Lord, but now he's dead. And Isaiah is troubled. It's uncertain for him. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Now I want you to think about Isaiah the prophet. Here he is at a troubling time. Uzziah the king is dead. But the Bible says, and I believe he was seeking the Lord. I believe he came before God's presence and then he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. How did he see the Lord? He saw the Lord high, holy, and lifted up. He saw the Lord on his throne. He saw the Lord as God should be in our hearts and minds. And as we see him, and then can I tell you what Isaiah did? He saw himself. for what He really was. Do you understand tonight that you and I will never know really who we are and what our life is before God until we see the Lord? When we see God in His proper place, then and only then can we see ourselves. You see, when we come into God's presence, we see things about ourselves that we have never seen before. Do you think Isaiah was a good man? Absolutely. Do you think he was a man who loved God? Absolutely. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. And yet when he came into the presence of the Lord and he saw the Lord high, holy, and lifted up. Now we will not see what Isaiah got to see. Isaiah did not have the Word of God as we have it today. But folks, we can enter into the presence of a holy God. We can worship the Lord. And that's exactly what Isaiah was doing. He worshiped the Lord. He saw himself. Folks, when we come into God's presence, we see things about our lives that we will never see. Then God begins to show us things about our lives that we need to confess to Him. And when we confess those things to Him, we are getting clean. We are getting right. Folks, you'll never see yourself as you should until you come into the presence of God. It all begins with God and not with man, because it begins with our worship. You know something? Because of our shallow vision of a holy God, we don't see ourselves as we should really see ourselves, and we don't confess our sin before the Lord. What happens in revival? Now, revival happens to the people of God. Revival is for Christians. Revival is when Christians are brought into the presence of God. Guess what they begin doing? They begin confessing their sin to the Lord. They began repenting, turning from their wicked ways. They began getting things right with one another. Why? Because now they're in the presence of a holy God and they see themselves for what they really are. Has that happened to you? It should happen to us often because we are in His presence. And when we are in His presence, we see our selfishness. We see our carnality. We see our critical spirits. We see the murmuring. We see all of those sins of the Spirit that we just don't like to confess. It begins with our worship. When our God grows greater in our eyes, when He is high and lifted up, we see the deep things in our lives that hinder us from being the people that God wants us to be. When Isaiah saw the Lord, you know what he said? Woe is me. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone. He said, I see myself now in the presence of a holy God. You know, the truth is, we don't want to see ourselves for what we really are. But when God shines the light of His presence upon our lives, then and only then can we begin to worship the Lord. We come with singing, but we come with thanksgiving. Do you know that I believe that some of the greatest opportunities for you and I to worship the Lord are during difficult times, or during times when things don't seem to be going our way? Think about Job just for a moment. In fact, Job said in Job chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 95, if you would please. Do you understand tonight that we come with singing? We give Him glory. We acknowledge the Lord for who He is. We worship Him. When's the last time that you came before the Lord and just praised Him for who He really is? For instance, to say, Lord, I praise You that You have all wisdom. You are wise. I praise You that You make no mistakes. I praise You that You're immutable. You change not. I praise You that You're almighty. I praise You that You're the sovereign God. I praise You. Folks, that's good for our soul. Amen. And we can only do that as we are in His presence. We recognize Him. We come with singing, but we come with thanksgiving. Psalm 95 says this, verse 2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." We come in thanksgiving. Folks, it's the heart that understands that no matter what happens in our lives, God is still God and God is still good. And He will forever deserve our praise. No matter what is going on in your life right now, God is still good. And He is still God. He is still on the throne. He makes no mistakes. And that is a part of our worship. We come with thanksgiving. We should be able to look up into our Father's face with confidence, knowing that He is working out some purpose in what is going on in our life, and that we know that He is still good. That's what Job did. Job worshiped God in the midst of all that he did. He lost all of his children, but you know what he said? Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know what he was saying? God is still good. No matter what has happened to me, God is still good and He makes no mistakes. I believe that the difference between a godly Christian and any other person is not what we go through, but it's who we go to. You see, the great difference is that we are seeking the Lord and we are worshiping the Lord. And worshiping God should simply be a way of life for every one of us. We worship the Lord. We ought to begin the day with worship, worshiping God. Do you know something? Our devotional time with God is not just for us just to say, "Well, I've got all these requests and I bring my requests to God." Now, we should request before the Lord. The Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." But really, when we worship God, that's when we see things clearly. That's when we can know what to pray for. That's when we enter into His presence with worship. We are giving Him praise. We are giving Him honor. We are exalting the Lord. And guess what? When we enter into His presence, then we see ourselves for what we really are. We confess our sin to God. We come clean with the Lord. And then I'm going to tell you what happens. Then we begin to worship Him. And when we worship Him, we see life as it should be. What is missing? Have you ever asked yourself before the question in your heart, "What is missing in my life?" Something's missing. I'm missing something. I know of people, not here in our church, and every time I say "when I know people," somebody tries to figure out who it is, you know. I know of people, not here in our church, but when they're struggling with life or they're down, they find some avenue. It might be a trip. It might be an escape somewhere. And that's what they look to. That's what they look to bring them joy and happiness in life. But what we do the same thing many times. Instead of looking to the Lord to find our joy in Him, to worship Him, God made us to worship. And when we don't worship, often nothing will be right in our life. If your worship is right, everything else will be right. Because in our worship, we give the Lord His proper place in our life. The Bible says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." You know, not only should we come before God's presence with singing, we exalt the Lord, we praise Him. In a sense, let's put it this way, and I don't mean this irreverently, but we brag on the Lord. We honor Him with our words and we honor Him with our lives. But then we come before His presence with singing, but we come before His presence with thanksgiving. Do you know that often it's easier for us to find things not to be thankful for rather than to thank the Lord? Right now, for many people, it's a tough time. Maybe they're distant from their family. Maybe they're not where they would like to be or whatever they're doing. It's the winter time, all of that. But folks, we can always be thankful for who God is and for what God is doing in our lives. Our thanksgiving, our gratitude is really based on what the Lord has done for us and that we are children of God. We come with singing, we come with thanksgiving, but thirdly and lastly, we come in humility. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 95 and notice what it says here. Verse number 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. We'll look in verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship, and notice this, and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Do you know that what we need more than anything else in our country is not a surface change or not necessarily a treatment for the symptoms of our disease? We need a revival of who God is. A revival of knowing the Lord. A revival that we come in humility before God. The Bible says that we bow down. Let us worship and bow down. Why must we bow down? Because often we are so filled with pride. We are so sure of ourselves. When God wants us to bow before His presence, God the Spirit in the life of the believer seeks to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to exalt Christ. You know, in fact, when you come into the presence of God and you know God for who He really is, He will give you that assurance of His presence. You'll know you're in His presence. And it will create upon your heart a humility. You know, one of the greatest areas to be in our life is a place of humility before God. We acknowledge the Lord and we give Him His rightful place in our life. Folks, when we don't give God His rightful place in our lives, we are not really living in worship to Him. Folks, when we have a vision of who God is, then whatever comes, we realize that the God we know is greater than anything we are dealing with. And that God has allowed it into our lives. We come in humility before Him. Let's read on here because I want to show this to you. The Bible says in verse 7, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. And look at this. And they, the Bible says, have not known my ways. Do you know the ways of the Lord? I'm talking about, do you understand who God really is? Your view of God really determines everything about your life. And God here tells that these people, they hardened their hearts. Do you know something? I believe tonight, unless we worship the Lord, our hearts will become hardened. Our hearts will not be tender. We will not hear the voice of the Lord. We will become hard in our hearts. When the children of Israel, the Bible says, they saw His works, and yet the Lord was grieved with them because they would not go into the promised land. You know something? When we have a little view of God, we have little faith in God. You know what was wrong with the children of Israel? Why they would not go in and possess the land? Because they just didn't believe God was able. Their view of God was wrong. Their view of God. They didn't think God was almighty or God was capable. They had heard what Moses had told them, but their view of God was wrong. Joshua and Caleb, their view of God was right. They said, God is able to deliver us. We are well able to do this because God is with us. But because their view of God was wrong, they did not enter in. The Bible says they did not enter into rest. By the way, do you know that when we worship God, it brings us to that place of rest in Him. It brings us to a place to where we're trusting in God. We rest in Him. We come in humility. Folks, I believe this with all my heart. Once we get the right view of God, all other things will be right and they will be clear because our view of God is right. You say, Pastor, how does my view of God increase? How do I get the right view of God? We come before His presence. We come before His presence in His Word. We ask the Lord to show us Him. We ask the Lord to increase our view of God. And when He does, I'll tell you something, then and only then do we yield ourselves to the Lord. Then and only then are we surrendered to Him. I wonder this year, will you worship the Lord? If you want 2021 to be a year of hope, then as I preach this morning, get into the Word of God. Let God's Word get in you. Be a student of the Word of God. But if you want 2021 for you to have the right view of God, we must come before His presence. We come with singing. We come with thanksgiving. And we come in humility before God. May God help us tonight. I invite you to worship. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your love to us. O Lord, increase our view of You, our vision of Thee. Give us a greater vision of Thee, Father, for who You are. May we know You for who You are in our lives. Lord, help us to worship. Teach us to worship. May we worship You in Your presence. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, Pastor, I'll be honest, my view of God is very small. It is not right. The way I view God, would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. My view of God is not as it should be. Pray for me. Amen. How many would say tonight, Pastor, I want to be a Christian who truly worships the Lord? Will you pray that this year I will be a worshiper of the Lord? Would you lift your hand? That's me. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? Let's pray together and then we will have the invitation. Our Father, we need You tonight. Lord, maybe we don't even know how much we need You. But tonight I pray that You will make us aware of our need of Thee. Teach us to worship. Teach us to really know You and walk with You in Your presence. Lord, help us to see You for who You really are, so that we can see ourselves as we really are. Do Your work in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and go to a great hymn. Hymn number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's sing it tonight in our worship to God. But the Lord has dealt with you. Would you leave your seat and come? Hymn number 2. Amen. I want to thank you for being here tonight, and I appreciate your faithfulness. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll be right in our place, and may the Lord help us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you that we can be here. Teach us to worship Thee. May we live in worship of You, giving You the praise and honor that is due Your precious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.